Isn't Bill working hard today? He's just up and down, and thank you, Bill. Servant's heart, loves the Lord. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
You know, before we get into the message this morning, into 1 Corinthians 12, on behalf of Kristen and myself, which he's not here today. Interesting that Cameron this morning had a fever of 102, and so she said, hey, we're not allowed to bring the little ones to church when they have a fever. It's against the rules. And so we're just honoring the rules of the family of God. You can't bring it anyway. So she wishes she was here today, and so Cameron was wanting to be here. But on behalf of Krista, myself, my extended family, we want to say thank you for all the care and the support and in these last few weeks before my mom passed away. Let me encourage you in one thing. You know, stay close to each other. Some of the most simplest things. You know, when people are hurting or they're losing a loved one or something hard's going on or their young one is sick or, you know, they're challenged at work. You know, as a body of Christ, as a family of God, some of the most simplest things that we do, a phone call or come by or have a glass of tea or just bring over some soup or just, you know, those kind of things. Sometimes we feel like, oh, maybe we'll be overburdening them or intrusive to them. I just want to encourage you, something that really we've been encouraged in, just stay close to one another. The ministry of the Spirit through the things that we have going on in our lives is incredible. It's amazing. We are going to miss Mom every day that she's not here and that we are, but, you know, truly miss. But knowing of her salvation, that song that we sang today, Revelation song, I asked Josh to sing that because it was one of Mom's favorites here. And she knew Jesus Christ, and she's not really missing me right now. And so, you know, to be full of sorrow and joy at the same time is an incredible experience in the sense of that, you know, I know the security of my salvation. I know where Mom is, and I know she's way more happier than what she was going through here. But, you know, we do miss our loved ones. But, man, God has a plan that we heard last week. If you weren't hearing last week's message, you need to get that from back there, how the sound people put that together for you, for the hope that awaits us. Such an encouraging message to the church, Tom. Thank you for that. So today, let's open our Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 26, finding our place there. You know, we're getting back into a series that we've called When We Gather Together. And let me just kind of put it real simple. Chapter 12 through 14 is all about us as a church family. It's been talked about a lot today, Sunday school, a lot of emotion in all of that. But, you know, that's what Paul is writing to them about them being a church family, about them being a body of Christ, about them being the household of God. A lot of different ways it's said. I love what Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Paul wrote this to him. He says, you know, I'm writing these things to you, Timothy, and in a sense to the church also, because Timothy was to share with the church what he was writing. I just love the language that God uses in this. He says, I'm just writing to you guys so you guys will know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the household of God. How many of us as parents are trying to teach our kids how to conduct themselves in our household? Right? You're trying to teach them on, hey, this is how we live our life here. We want to honor God. We want to love, we want to, you know, respect each other. We want to all that, you know. So many of the epistles is talking to us about how we ought to just live our life as a family. Individual families, church families. So much as it is just about that. I love how Paul writes that, hey, how we ought to conduct ourselves in the household of God. You know what? I belong to the household of God. Do you? I'm God's child. And so are you. And we belong to his household, his family. We're running around at his feet, if you want to look at it that way, causing all the trouble and getting into all the things that, like a family. And he says this next, which is the church of the living God. We are the church of the living God. It's a high point. It's a great point. And, you know, the message, what we're going to look at today, God has so composed the body. We're going to talk about the body of Christ, which is the household of God, which is the family of God. It's all the kind of thing, the same thing. You know, God so composed the body. He designed it. He shaped it. He put it together. He decided its function, its working. Let me ask you a question. Who decided how this finger right here works? Who decided how this ligament works and this muscle works and it goes to the wrist and the muscle comes up in here and it works in the elbow and it goes to the shoulder and then it goes to the back and then to the neck and then it goes down to the hips and to legs and the feet and all of that. God put all that together, amen, right? When he breathed life into Adam, he decided, you know, I got ligaments, I got muscles, I got hearts, lung, kidney, I have my eye, my liver, I have blood flow, air flow, the organs work together, the nerve structure, the bone structure, all of their function, they function, the use of them are working of your physical body. You know how in union that is? How many of you had a sore leg and it just kind of wrecked up your whole body? Man, I hurt my knee and I just can't, you know, the hips are hurting, I got headaches and I'm just that kind of stuff. Stub your toe, right? Right, got a bad foot, got a corn on your foot, man. You think your whole body's about to die, right? Because it's so in union, it's so connected. God has it working together. You know what? When you deal with your body in a healthy manner, you put some good things into it, you get some exercise, you don't put so many bad things into it, man, it affects the whole thing. You know, I started eating differently back in May because I had some issues and physically and that kind of stuff. And my body started changing. And it, you know what? It just didn't work in the leg. Like, oh, it fixed the leg, but over here is, no, it worked in the whole thing because it's so connected. That's God's message today. By divine act of God, by what God did, not what you did, not what I did, but what God designed, what God planned, we are so connected. The blood that flows through us is one. It's Christ. The air through that flows through us is one. It's the Spirit of God. There's nobody else on the planet part of that other than Christians. It's a design of God. It's incredible if you think about it. The design of a body, think about it. It's absolutely incredible. Originally, it was designed to last forever. It's quite remarkable. Your physical body right now is working together, isn't it? For some of you, it's striving hard to keep you awake. But think about it right now. You got blood flow. You got air flow, right? You're listening. You're trying to understand. You're trying to apply it to your life, comprehend it. Think of all that's going on, the nerves that are happening, all of that. And it's to keep you going. What Paul in our text is using is the metaphor of a body to teach the oneness that we have in Christ. It's absolutely incredible. Now, you know, we have all of the lives we have. He's trying to teach us the interconnectedness that we have. And it's even deeper than that because listen to what Paul is referring to and we'll talk a little bit about today. Do you know what? The incarnate Christ dwells in what body now? Ours. Collectively. We are the body of Christ. I'm part of it. I'm a member. Sometimes I want to be a nice member. Sometimes I'm just the gallbladder. Right? You're just diffusing all of the things out of that's going on, right? This is what God is talking about in here and what he's designed it to be and what it is. And you know, it stumbles, it struggles, and all that it is, but this is what he wants to teach, the oneness that we have in Christ, the interconnectedness. He's joined it together. He structured it in the plan of God when Christ came. This is his church. This is what he's done. Now, let me ask you, why does Paul want to teach this now to the Corinthians? All that we've been going through and seeing all the things they've been going through, seeing all the struggles that they've been having. They got gifts and they're using their gifts wrongly and they don't see the, you know, I mean, they just, all of the stuff they struggle. Right now, he wants to teach this to them. Right now, he wants to refer to it because they're separated, because they're divided, because they're independent minded. Put that down. You know what? God speaks to my life and your life in this way. When you're independent-minded, he says, I haven't created it to be that way. God in his word always brings it into your heart. That when, you know what, how many of us here, when we think it's about me and my woes and my worries and my struggles and my things, God reminds you that it isn't about that. Through his word, through the truth, it's about him and what he's doing and what he's doing in us. And God's got it. He's over it. He's guiding it. He's leading it. And you can be assured of the hope of the glory that awaits us because what God's doing in the world. So Paul here is writing to them. Maybe they didn't know God's design. I think they knew it because he only refers to it a little bit. Maybe they didn't understand how it worked, but I think they did. I think they were rejecting it in their heart. And God even deals with that in our lives in a gracious and loving, kind way when we reject God's plan and purpose for our oneness. Whatever it is, God wanted them to know and to understand and live the oneness that he had given them. That's what he wants in our lives. At this time, they're using their spiritual gifts for themselves, not the whole. We don't need to get into all of that. The idea of independent Christianity or exalting self or edifying self or not functioning together, it's all through the text. Paul is using God's word, his truth about what he's done in our life, who we are, to draw them back to live the way God wants them to live. He has so composed the body. It doesn't work this way. It's not independent Christianity. He put it together. He connected it to work together. Yes, independently, we're all Christians. Independently, we all put our faith in Christ. But when you do that, we're going to look at today, God places you sovereignly, divinely into a body of Christ. And you live out that Christianity, not independently, corporately. Yes, independently in your relationship with the Lord. Yes, independently as you walk daily. But God placed you in His body, Christ's body, to be the body of Christ here. And works corporately and all that. We'll look at that briefly in a moment. So what Paul does, he moves to teach on God's order, His way for His church. He talks about the composition of a body. And frankly, I wrote this down, many if not most churches in our day have lost this whole idea of family of God or household of God or body of Christ. They teach, they preach about, you know, things that are taught, things that are in the Word of God, that you can come, somehow you attend a church, somewhere you participated in brief moments, come and get some truth, come and go have some Word of God and some understanding of God, because God wants to work and move and do some things in your life independently from what He's doing corporately through what He's done in His church. And like I said, many have lost that. You know, I praise the Lord, thank the Lord that that's not true of here. We know that we are the church of the living God all day and every day. We have it in our heart and know that we are the body of Christ corporately and collectively every day and all day. Whether we interact through the day, whether we do things in through the day, we recognize God's dynamic and all of that. And we know we are the church family all day, every day. So Paul wants to infuse in the Corinthians' minds this truth that I'm talking about, the oneness of the redeemed community and the independence of a redeemed community. That's what he talks about. So he, look at what he starts with, the oneness of a redeemed community. Look at verse 12 and 13. He writes this, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." There's the metaphor that he's using. He's using the whole metaphor of the body. Did you see what he says? Even though there's many members in my body right now, I have a knee and an ankle and a shin bone, and I have a hip bone, and I have an elbow and an arm and muscles and ligaments and veins. Though there's many members in this body, it's only one body. It's only one. It's not two. It's not more than that. It's one. And though it's one body, it has many members. And what he's getting to is the metaphor of us. Look, there's many members here, right? Now, this isn't the membership that we talked about in today and what we did today. That's embracing, saying this is the family of God. When you are saved, when you come to faith in Christ and you're born again and God transforms your life, he become a part of the body of Christ. You become a member of the body of Christ, the whole church, the whole body of Christ. And if you haven't put your faith in the Lord, if you haven't trusted in the Lord, you are not part of the body of Christ. And so Paul is talking about this analogy. He's talking about this metaphor that they already know it because he's just referring to it. So when he says it again, he's just talking about the oneness that they have. He says, as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. We have a unified body. That's what it is. It's one, like a physical body. We're connected. That's what he's getting to. We are parts, members of the whole. We are parts, members of something greater than ourselves, the body of Christ. Paul wrote this in Romans 12, 4 and 5. Listen to what he wrote. He said, "For," he's using the same metaphor. God teaches on the body of Christ all over Scripture and way more in other places in depth. So that's where I think the Corinthians knew what he was talking about when he referred to this. They just went, "Oh, yeah, we are. We're like all connected, right? And we're all members of one another, and we're getting all this thinking it's about me and me and me." But in Romans 12, 4, he says this, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function." Now listen, my members don't have the same function. They're yours. I'm pretty glad that I have an ear that functions like an ear, and an eye like an eye, and a gallbladder like a gallbladder, and a heart, and how they function. That's what he's getting to. Look at the metaphor again. Think of what God is teaching in the metaphor. Your body doesn't have all the same function. It's got a multiple, millions of functions, if you want to think about it in that way. And he says this, just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, metaphor, many parts, legs, muscles, ligaments, heart, lungs, kidneys, they're all connected. Verse 5, he says this, "So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. Hey, you're my liver. You're my kidney. Well, God's kidney, Christ's kidney, but we're connected. You see what God is putting down, what he's teaching in all of this, this metaphor, and what he's talking about, how the same life flows through our veins, and God has connected us in this way, that we interact, that we, our relationships, that our growing, our teaching, all of the different kind of things, they interact in our lives. That's what I want you to get here. Individually members of one another. Look around the room. If you look at a Christian, you are an individually member, a body part with that person, the body of Christ. Well, you know how your body functions. That one hurts, you hurt. That one rejoices, you rejoice. That's what he's talking about. This doesn't look like any other thing in the world. It doesn't even make sense to the world. They think it's ridiculous or stupid or idiotic or that. They're, you know, those that aren't, that God ain't working in their heart, and think it's ridiculous that you guys think you're that connected. That's the way it should be. The unsaved world should say, you guys are strange. Absolutely. God has put us so much close together that in eternity, I am more closer to you than I am my wife in here. Because I'm more one with you than I'm one with her right now, because that's only temporal and earthly. It won't happen in heaven. But I'll be one with you forever. That's what God wants us to live. People in the world should look at it and say, oh my goodness, you guys are weird. Yeah, God saved us. We love each other beyond that you can even count or understand. We lay our lives down for each other. We minister to each other. We fall all over each other. We cry for each other. We beg each other. We don't want somebody to stumble or fall short. We hold each other accountable. We discipline each other. Because God, what God has done, we all know Christ is the head, Colossians 1:18. He's the thoughts, the mind, the control of us. But listen to what Paul said in Colossians 1:24. He said this, I rejoice in my sufferings. He's writing to the church in Colossae. It's for your sake, on behalf of Christ's body, you. Man, when that hit me, do you know what? Paul suffered for me. Because I'm part of Christ's body. And what Paul went through, he did it for me. I'm connected to Paul, the apostle. So are you. But you are connected to me, and so I'm connected to you, and you are connected to each other. This is what he's talking about. Can you see when the Corinthians, with all that they got going on, not holding each other accountable, immorality going on, using their gifts wrong, thinking, oh, hey, I can eat meat. What do you got a problem with it, man? That's your issue. When they would grab what God is talking about, what he's teaching right here in the middle of it, and then he's going to go to love. And then he's going to say, let me show you a better way. By choice, with passion, act on behalf of each other over yourselves. Let that dominate your life. And you won't have the issues that you have in Corinthians. That's what Paul is wanting to us to see and understand and teach in this. There's so much here. Colossians 2:19, he said this. We're to hold fast to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us, his truth, his word, his way, and from him the entire body, that's me and you, that's all of us, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth of which is from God. You know what that says? That in God's plan and his design, as we hold to the head, all of us that are a body of Christ, that love the Lord, that are saved, if we'll hold fast to the head, that from him we're being supplied and held together by the joints and the ligaments, it's the same metaphor, grows with the growth that's from God. You know what that says? That God's plan and his way is that he grows us and uses each one of us to grow the whole. And you're a part of that. And I'm a part of that. He uses you and you and you to grow each other and each other to grow the whole. That's just like I was talking about. So when I put good nourishment or good thoughts in my mind, my whole body gets better. That as a church, as a body of Christ, as we take in the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, and apply it to our life and help each other in the struggle, you know what? We grow with the growth which is of God by divine power. And that's why when we struggle and we stumble and we have sin in our life, that we care about that, that we're concerned for that, because that affects us also. So we're a united body, and we're one in Christ. Look at verse 12, what he says again. And so also is Christ. You would think you'd read that. And so also is his church. Well, so also is Christ. This is what he's saying. Christ is one, and if he has many members, then they are one, that are one with him, then we are one with each other. Let me explain that to you. Turn your Bibles to Galatians 3, verse 26 and 28. This is what he's saying. You know, if I simply said it, and Paul is teaching on, and what the Bible teaches on, you know what? We're all one in Christ. Amen? Are you one in Christ? Is Christ in you, and are you in Christ? Certainly you are, right? You are in Christ, Christ in you. So you're one with the Lord is one with you, right? It's an interesting relationship. You're his, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God baptized you. We're going to look at you with you putting you in Christ and that kind of thing. So if you're one in him and he's one with you and we're all in him, we're all one. That's what he's teaching on, and that's what it is. Look at Galatians 3, 26 and following, I believe was the verse. Here it says this in verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. I love that verse. "For we're all sons and daughters. We're all family of God through faith in Christ. Through our faith in Christ, by divine act of God, by God regeneration, bringing us into the family of God, we're all sons and daughters of God. We're the household of God. We're the family of God." Verse 27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ," this is through in faith in God. Baptized means immersed into Christ. Christ immersed into you, "have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." That's a work of God. We're one. We're one in Christ. We have a unified body. We're unified in our life together. We're all one in Christ. We possess the life of Christ given to us by Christ through faith. We are the body of Christ. His whole life runs through our veins, through us collectively. The whole body is Christ's body on the earth, and that's what I referred to earlier. When Christ was here, when the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born of a baby, he had a body. He had a physicalness to him, he had a body. God, man, all the way God, all the way man, and he dwelt among us, he dwelt among his people. And then he went to the cross, and he died in his death. And he was buried, and this physical body yet here died, but he was resurrected in this new body. Now he's in heaven. But God incarnate is still here through his body of Christ. That's what the scriptures teach. The incarnate God is still here through you and me. We are the hands, the feet. We all know the stories. We all know these truths. We're the hands and feet and heart and love and concern and truth of Christ. We represent him physically here. It's the church age. It's God's design. We are one in him. And you know, so much so, listen to this, that we are so much one in Christ. Listen to what Jesus teaches in Matthew 25. This is what he teaches. "What I do to you, I do to Jesus. And what you do to me, you do to Jesus." So if I love you, or if I care for you, or if you love your fellow believer, if you care for them, or you give them a drink of water, or you offend them, or you don't forgive them, or you do that to Jesus Christ. We're so one and one with Christ that what we do to each other, we do to Jesus. And going on here, we all have been immersed or baptized spiritually into the body of Christ. Look at verse 13 back in 1 Corinthians. I need to move along here a little bit just so we get the idea and we grasp what we're talking about here today. He says next, he says, "We have been immersed spiritually into the body of Christ." Look at verse 13. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Now what he says here is at salvation. Look at me for a moment. This is what God did. At salvation, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, this is the work of God that was poured out on you and me. Christ, by a divine act, by a divine will of God, baptized you into the body of Christ, into God's family, into the church. This is a dry message. This scripture here isn't about water at all. There's no water here. This is a divine act of God by the work of the Holy Spirit. God says, when you put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit washed you, regenerated you, you were born again. And what God did, by the work of the Holy Spirit, he immersed you into the body of Christ. You didn't choose it. It wasn't like this, what we did here for, we want to be part of this body of Christ. God's worked on my heart and I want to embrace it. God did it. That's who you are. You belong to the body of Christ. You are a member, a part. You can reject it. You can say, I don't want to be a part. I want to be, what did you use, Brian? The appendix, you know, take me out. I'm not really worthless, all that kind of stuff. We're going to look at that in a moment. God doesn't want us to think that way. But this is an act of God. This is what the truth of God's teaching in His Word about what He has done. He didn't do that in the Old Testament. He didn't do that before Christ. He did that when Christ came. He did that now. That's who we are. We've been immersed at our salvation in the body of Christ. Look at Romans 6 with me real quickly. Turn your Bibles to Romans 6. And I'm going to have to shorten this today, but that's okay. Next week's Christmas. We'll have a message. We can finish it up at the end of the year. But look at the Bible with me. Look at Romans 6. Look what it says here. So I get the idea of the work of the Holy Spirit and what God has done. Romans 6, this is another dry passage. There's no water here. He's not talking about the baptism that when we go get baptized. Baptism is just a reflection of an inward act that's already got that God has done in your life. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 6, verse 3 and following. He says this, or do you not know? Now, when he writes that, this is something that we all have on our heart and mind, that every Christian should know this. All of us should know what he's saying here. Do you not know that all of us, that's all of us, that have believed in Christ, who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? The word isn't about water there, it's about immersion. Hey, don't you know when you came to faith in Christ and when God, what God did in your life? He immersed you into Christ. Yeah, I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. He immersed you into his death. Now, that's a mystery that we can't explain, but when Christ died, you died. In the mind of God, in the truth of God, what he did is when you put your faith in Christ, Christ, or God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, immersed you in the death of Christ. He immersed you in it. That's incredible what he's talking about. This is the power of God and what he does. At your salvation, by the work of the Holy Spirit, God immersed you into Christ, immersed you into his death. Look at verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through the baptism into death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so he might walk in newness of life. Do you know what that just said? When he died, you died. And when he was in the grave, you were in the grave. And when he rose, you rose. And God did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you know what? I have resurrected life. Amen? How many of you got resurrected life? I've been born again. I've been saved. I've been made new. I've had the mercy of God. I've been raised from the dead. I was dead to God, weren't you? You can, you know, they shared that they came to faith, you know, at 4 years old, they gave my life to the Lord. You know what God did? He raised you from the dead at four. Because there's no boundary at what God can do. But you were dead to him. This is, take the body analogy. There was no life. It didn't breathe. It wouldn't respond. It couldn't act. You could go, hey, you don't know God. It's dead. And by God, in the quickening of his spirit, the regeneration, he immersed you into the resurrected life of Christ. And he immersed you into the body of Christ. It's the same divine act. It has the same divine power. It has the same divine meaning. It's supposed to mean the same to us. As God raised me from the dead and gave me life in Christ, and I'll forever be with the Lord, I'm forever part of the body of Christ. That's the importance of what he's teaching here. That's important. It's powerful. It's strong. It transforms our life. And the Holy Spirit come to dwell in our lives. That would be the next point. That's the oneness that we have. The same Spirit that lives in me lives in you. Now again, I share with you, doesn't look like that all the time across the earth in the churches. But that's not my issue or yours. Does it look like that in my life today? That's your issue and that's mine. What the world has done with God's truth isn't my issue. It's not yours. What our issue is what we do with God's truth. How do we live today? How do we interact? How do we embrace what God has for us today? Listen, he said we are so dependent upon one another. Look what he says next, and I'll just briefly say it for a moment. That's what he goes to next. He's trying to get the mind of these Corinthians on where they are so self-focused. They're so out there that he brings them right back to the base of it. And he says, look it, you are guys dependent upon each other. Look at 14. You know what? The body needs you. Look at me, you guys. The body needs you. Verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. If the foot says, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not the eye, am I not part of the body? Is it not for this reason any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smell be? But God has placed the members of each one of them in the body just as he desires. If there were all one member, where would the body be? Answer the question. If we were all the liver, where would we be? Wouldn't be functioning very well, right? Right? And how in the world can you think that the body doesn't need you? How in your heart and mind could you think in God's divine order, in God's way that he's made all this come about, in God's plan of his church and you representing Christ here on earth, that you say, oh, it doesn't matter who I am and what I do. It absolutely matters. And it doesn't matter what you do. What matters is that you do. And that's what Paul is getting to here in our life. It doesn't matter if you're just the ligament to the finger. Be the ligament to the finger, because the finger and the hand need you. And I'm pretty happy in the rest of my body that that works, especially the thumb one. I should have used that one. That's better, because then I just don't get nothing done. Does this make sense to you? This is the importance of it. This is what God is talking about. We're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of what we did in the body, 2 Corinthians 5. A lot of times you can term that, in my own one, but he also applies to what we did in the corporate one. And I'm so glad here, so thankful here that we embrace this, we understand this. This is what we live, this is what God is doing. This is how we are. We're dependent upon one another, not for everything. Not for every single thing. My foot isn't dependent upon my shoulder for everything. My little toe isn't dependent upon my elbow for everything. But that we're connected, sometimes I'm pretty happy that I didn't stub my toe, because it seems like my whole body, like I said, just has a cow when I stub my toe. Like none of it can work. But you know what I'm talking about here. Take the analogy and apply it to your life. But boy, I'm sure glad when, the parts that I play in the body of Christ and the parts that you play, and when they're in need of each other and how they function together, those ones that are connected at that moment, how they minister to each other. See, the body needs you. But you know what? You need the body. Verses 20 through 26. Look what he says. But now there are many members, but one body. I don't know how many times he can say the analogy. I don't know how many times you get it in our heart and mind. It says the body 16 times through here. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem weaker are necessary. And those members which the body we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more honor or more abundant honor, and less presentable members become much more presentable. You know what that says? We really should just care where each other's at. You know what? We ought to guard and protect some people that are having a hard time, that are struggling with some things. Yes, hold them accountable. Yes, teach them God's word. Yes, on all that. But you know what? I'm so glad that my liver isn't hanging out right here, because it's less presentable than hopefully my face. See, he so composed the body that he kind of put some of the less presentable things to what we don't want to look at. He put them inside a frame here. He put them in here. He put them in the body of Christ. He put them in the family of God. And that's why I encourage you, we need to stay close to each other. I need the body. Let's close with this. Turn to Romans 15. I had a lot more in there, but let's just finish with this. So, you know, the oneness that we have, the dependence that we have, the body needs you and you need the body. And as we talked in Sunday school today, let me just tell you, embrace this. And the hardest thing about this is humility. Romans 15, 1 through 6 is what we're going to finish with here. We would all agree the hard thing about this is humility. Jesus said in Philippians 2, 5, have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote about this, about Jesus. It takes having the mind of Christ, having the attitude of Christ, of humility, to think of others over yourself, to give and to love and to be for a greater work of God. These weeks I've been thinking quite a bit about my family, my individual family, my extended family. I don't know if you guys saw it or not. I had over 70 people on Thanksgiving come say goodbye to my mom. And then 20 more in the following weekend. There's 91 people that came from Thursday to Monday. And then mom went home Tuesday. And as much as they are to me, and as much as that family is, and, you know, God has me in my heart and all of them, and wanting to share Christ and listening to mom share with them, and they are so important in my life, I could not help but think of you. It's interesting. Because all I want for all of those people is to become part of us. No, there's no greater thing. The ones that don't know Christ, the ones that don't know the Lord, the ones that haven't embraced Him. I had a couple of them tell me when I prayed, man, I didn't come here to hear a sermon. And I asked the Lord to forgive them because all I want them is to be a part of us. And I'm not real concerned that they're a part of me. They are my family. And I thought about my grandmother, Nettie. I remember when she was dying, she couldn't go, and she told me, you know, I can't go. My children don't know Christ. And I was 9 months into knowing the Lord, and I said, well, go, I'll tell them. And she went, and I told them, and then my mom went home, and the people are around. And next week from Monday, they're going to come around. And can we tell them? That's what we want to tell them, don't we? You and me. We want to tell the world, don't we? I mean, yeah, this is my family, and so, yeah, I know the love of family. I know how we get heart-wrenched. I know your family, and I know how your kids are with you, and I know how you painstakingly weep and pray for your family. God wants us to tell them. And as Romans 15:1 says there, it says, you know what? Some of us need to bear the weakness of those that need strength. I am so glad that my brothers and sisters in Christ bear my weakness when I am not strong, when I need strength. I've been there. But I am so privileged that when there's a brother or sister in my life that doesn't have strength, that God uses me to bear their weakness. Because he says at the end of that verse, and what he's saying is God does this in our life. With one voice, we declare one hope and one God. Don't you want that? I'm sure you do, and I do. So the message that God has for us today, and what we have in our heart and mind, is about us embracing who we are in Christ, the body of Christ. Living the lives, loving our kids, raising all the things. I'm not preaching anything against our lives, but embracing what he has for us. Let's close in prayer. Will you stand with me? Father, we stand before you today, imperfect people. You know that. You had to send Jesus Christ because of how imperfect we are. Even though saved, born again, regenerated, made new, given a new heart, new hope, the ability to follow your word, the ability by your spirit to do the things you've asked us to do, to be gifted, to be empowered to do the things you do. We stumble. We do the things that don't honor you. We're all in this journey on this road, but we're all together in it, Lord, on this road of salvation, walking with you. Father, and we'd ask that you would help us, that you would guide us and lead us, that you would infuse in our hearts this journey together that we have, Lord, that you would use it to be light to this world, that it would be light to our immediate families, to grandma and grandpa, to uncles and aunts, and to our children, and to those that are around us, that you would be patient with each one of us as we walk this life together, as we walk this journey, none of us in a perfect way, Lord. But hold us accountable with our family on how that goes. And thank you for your forgiveness and your reconciliation. And Lord, that your desire for us is just to keep focused on you and moving along. And in all of that, Lord, you use us to be the representative of Christ here. You know what? If 100 years ago it quit getting represented, the Lord Jesus Christ in his body here, I would never have seen the Lord. None of us would. But you've carried this on through your church, so we pray, Lord, that we would walk and carry it on. And I thank you for the message of Christmas. I thank you for the family of Christmas. I thank you for all that you've done. We could never pay you back for what you have done. All we can do is live honorably and thankfully for your salvation. I thank you for this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.